بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. I want to first remind myself and everyone the blessing of sitting in the gatherings of tafsir of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Allah says, why don't they contemplate? Why don't they think about the Quran? Allah ta'ala actually, it's like a sense of disappointment that why is mankind not spending its time pondering about the Quran? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ, or is it that on their hearts they have locks? Aqfaluha, there are chains and there are seals on the heart that make us not able to sit down and learn about the Quran. So alhamdulillah, I think this is a great, what we call husnul fa'al, right? A good sign from Allah Ta'ala that people who sit in the gatherings of tafsir, they are people that Allah Ta'ala has unlocked their hearts, that Allah Ta'ala loves them so much. He says, here, I'll unlock those chains on your heart to make you really deeply understand this Quran. So alhamdulillah, it's a great ni'mah from Allah Ta'ala. We should be grateful to Allah. Alhamdulillah, we can sit here and really spend some time remembering about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and talking about his Mubarak blessed book, inshallah. So we're up to ayah number in Suratul Bani Israel. We were covering it for some time. We got up to ayah number 11 and 12 yet last time. And now inshallah we'll be continuing forward from there. I wanted to mention one last thing about this ayah that we talked about, ayah number 11. وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. Allah ta'ala says, mankind, they rush and they pray with their prayer for evil, like how they pray for good, right? That's what we talked about last time. And so we talked about in means of dua, that a person will make dua against themselves, or making dua against their kids, or making dua against their family. And then they'll say something which will come out, and at the same time where Allah Ta'ala accepts duas in the day, right? So there's a time in the day where duas are always accepted. And at that same time, a person will make dua against his family. And subhanAllah, the person will actually ruin their own life without realizing it. And this is one way of thinking about it. Like someone would just say, oh, just, you know, God kill me now, for example, something like that. Crazy thing that person will say, you know, like, oh, you're shaitan, or you're khabis, whatever, whatever. We say such things and we don't realize we made dua against ourselves. Allah Ta'ala says, you make such a strong dua. When you and I are angry, we make such a strong dua. Have you not noticed it? When you and I are upset, we can make such strong, fervent dua. You know, subhanAllah, if you're going to take something from Israel, Palestine type of thing, right? You can see how angry we can get and how much dua we can make, how strong dua a person can make at that time. SubhanAllah, Allah says, why don't you make that type of dua for your own good things then? Like, you need Jannah, you need to be saved from the fire of Jahannam, you need to be protected in your qabr, in your grave. Make strong dua like that. SubhanAllah, Israel, Palestine is happening, you get emotional. Your emotions should come out all the time when you're making dua. This is what Allah is telling us. وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. He should make a dua. You know, he makes such strong dua when he's in a hardship. He should make that dua when he's in good as well. Another thing that we can take from this ayah of the Quran is, وَيَعْمَلُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاهُ عَمَلَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. That a person, they rush to do evil things when they should be rushing to do good things. Okay? They should rush to do good things, but they rush to do evil things. I'll give you a simple example, okay? Let's take a simple example. The salah has started, right? And now, subhanAllah, someone comes in late. And he's seeing that the imam is going for ruku'ah. So now, in his mind, immediately he starts to think, I need to catch the rak'ah. So what does he do? وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. He runs, he races, he rushes so quickly, and he stammers and bumps and everything, right? And he comes and he joins the jama'ah. But he doesn't realize, right, that he shouldn't have done that. What should he have done, rather? He should have slowed down, walked, waited, because his niyyah was there. You're already in the jama'at. As soon as you left your house, you're in the jama'at. Rasulullah said, that person who embarks and goes out for the masjid, right? You're already in salah. Until you get there, mashallah, you have literally nothing to worry about. Oh, because you have to make up one rak'ah, you're like panicking now. SubhanAllah, like, it's what happens, right? You think about it, like, how much is going to take you to make up one extra rak'ah? How long will it take you? Not too much, like 1 minute maybe, subhanAllah. It's not anything from your time. But this is what happens. وَيَعْمَلُ الْإِنسَانُ. Sometimes in the place of good, we do something bad. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ. Allah Ta'ala blames it. He tells us, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. It's because you're rushing. Allah says, because you're rushing. You rush everything. So this is what happens, right? When it comes to haram things too, Allah Ta'ala protect us. But what happens is, a person looks at shortcuts in life. Because the easy ways in life are most likely the haram ways. Why bother getting a nikah done? You can just do like zina. It's like literally freebie, right? Why would a person want to work hard and work to make money when you can just get a lottery ticket, right? Why would a person want to go through the hardships of purchasing a house in the right way, in the proper way, and developing whatever they need to get developed to make it right? Let's just make it in the haram way. It's easier. Every single one of these places is easier. Allah says He's blaming it on our rushing. Don't rush. Wa kana al-insanu ajula. Why are you rushing? And then Allah connects this to the next ayah very beautifully. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ. We talked about this last time, just one way. But this ayah, if you connect it to the previous one, Allah's saying, we made the night and day as beautiful signs for you. What is the night and day, brothers and sisters in Islam? It is Allah telling you, you have time. You know, subhanAllah, I tell you as a Desi boy growing up in a Desi family and everything, my mom and dad always put me on a timer. There is a clock for things to be done. Okay, like you must have gotten this done by 18, and then by 22, and then by 25, this has to be done, and then by 30 has to be done. My whole life has been determined like this, right? People are rushing us. They're making us rush. Allah Ta'ala telling us next to this ayah, right before, Allah is giving us an ishara, an indication. He's saying that, why are you rushing? There's no such thing as timers in life. Some person, subhanAllah, I'll give you an example of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, subhanAllah, what better example than you want than Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? People, subhanAllah, like, you know, again, we encourage people to get married. And we tell them to get married early and everything like that. But sometimes Allah Ta'ala writes something for you later. Right? It happens, right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he got married at 25. Right? Khadija radhiyallahu anha, her perfect match was found at age 40. And I'm like, do you understand? Like, subhanAllah, people are rushing. Sauda radhiyallahu anha married at like 50 something, you know? SubhanAllah, like, Allahu Akbar, like these marriages and things like that, you know, people rush a lot of things. Same thing with our education, sometimes with the house, sometimes with the car, sometimes this. We have to slow down. Allah has said, look, night and day are made, right? It's beautiful. Have you ever, I learned this tafsir of this ayah today morning. I drove one of the kids home after thing, right? And he lived a little far. This ayah says, وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةً فَمَحَوْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ وَجَعَلْنا آيَةَ النَّهَارِ مُبْصِرًا. Allah says, we erased the sign of the night. And we made the sign of the day something that people can see through, right? So I was thinking, like, a lot of things I could tell you about today, which I have a lot of things written down. But the tafsir came this morning when I drove one of the kids back home. Because when I was driving against the, you know, against the sun, right? And you're seeing the sun come out, right? And then what do you see? The night is there. You know, I can normally after Fajr, we're sitting here doing zikr and stuff. This is my first time ever walking and going out. I recommend, mashallah, this is what you should do, right? Just go and see Allah's signs. Go see Allah's signs. Go hiking. Do something. Look at the world. So I went out and I saw that the night is like completely black. But slowly but surely, you know, it starts to fade out and you start to see light come out, right? As if it's like a child using an eraser on a paper, and slowly he's erasing the darkness, and then light is starting to be shown afterwards. You ever see when a paper is like completely, like when a kid like scribbled all over it and then you start erasing, what happens? You start to see the white from underneath. Subhanallah, I'm looking at the sky and I'm saying Allah is making tafsir of the Quran through the sky. You know, this is why people, subhanAllah, we don't look at nature too much. All of our kids are stuck on phones and things like that, tablets. Go explore, go look outside, see the world. Because this is where the ayats of the Quran are. You want to see where the ayah is? Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mulk, you know this ayah. Allah Ta'ala talks about the bird. Have you not seen the bird when it's flying in the air? That sometimes it has its wings out like this, sometimes it has it like this. Have you ever seen a bird like that? And no matter what, if it's stormy weather, if it's difficult weather, the bird is still like flying like it's completely fine. You don't believe me? Get on an airplane. SubhanAllah, you see the same thing for yourself. Ma yumsikuhunna illa Rahman. The only one holding it up is Rahman. This is tafsir of the Quran. You want tafsir? I tell people, inshallah, go and look at the world because this is what the Quran wants you to do. So Allah says He erased the night and He replaced it with the day. I told you something last week about what this is connected to the Quran. How is it connected to the Quran? Allah said, we erased one of the signs and we brought down another sign. We erased one of the signs and we brought down another sign. The Nabi before our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Nabi Isa Alaihi Wasallam. And his Ummah was from Bani Israel. He came to the people of Bani Israel. And they have a very large book called the Torah. And then the Injil as well. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is telling them that, look, the same way I erased the night and I put down the day. And the day is so much more beneficial for you than the night is in a certain way. Right? And Allah will explain that. The same way for Bani Israel, Allah is telling them in a beautiful way, Mahawna ayat al-Tawrah. وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ الْقُرْآنِ. We removed the sign of the Torah. Now we gave you a more beautiful thing, which is the sign of the Quran. It's like the sun. The Quran is like the sun. هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. It is the most established, the most perfect, and most beautiful way, the Quran. You're not gonna find a more beautiful book than this, subhanAllah. I'm literally like three ayah, three words in the ayah, And subhanAllah, we're not, you know, how beautiful of a Quran this is. The tilawah of the Quran is beautiful. The recitation is beautiful. The words are beautiful. The meanings are beautiful. Every single way Allah put jamal in this Quran. People, subhanAllah, they become munhamik. They become mu'takif. They do i'tikaf on this Quran. This is what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. It's a beautiful book. Allah Ta'ala says, allows you to see mubasira. لِتَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. So you can desire from the virtue of your Lord. What is the fadl from Allah Ta'ala from the Quran? People asked Sayyidina, one of our akabir, rahimahullah, the name is escaping me. He said that I am in need. They came to Shaykh Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala. They came to Shaykh Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala. And they asked him, said, Shaykh, I would like that Allah forgive my sins. So he says, قُنْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنُّ كَانَ غَفَرًا. He says, seek forgiveness from your Lord, right? Then the man said, oh Allah, oh Hassan al-Basri, I would like to have, I need rain. Our town hasn't rained for some time. He said, make istighfar, ask Allah for forgiveness. And he said, oh, Shaykh Hassan al-Basri, I really like really nice kids. So he said, seek forgiveness from Allah, right? And then what happened? He said, oh, Hassan al-Basri, I would like rivers and gardens. He said, seek forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. He's like, you know, Mawlana Sahib is broken, right? Ta'weez isn't working, giving same ta'weez to everybody, right? So now he goes and says, one of the students asked, Shaykh, everyone who came to you, you said the same thing. Ask forgiveness, ask forgiveness, ask forgiveness. He said, what can I tell you? Allah said, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ. Allah said, seek forgiveness from Allah. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Seek forgiveness from Allah. He will send down the rain for you. He will give you wealth. He'll give you children. He'll give you gardens. He'll give you rivers. مَا عَلَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ إِلَّا وَقَارًا. Why don't you value Allah? Allah says. And beautiful. It's from the Quran. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he's passing away. And he, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, is the governor. And he says that, is there anything that we can do for you, Ibn Mas'ud? He said, Tabibun, these are people, mashallah, their fikr is only on Allah. Tabibun amradani, a tabibun yashfini. He said, the doctor came and visited me. Ibn Uthman radiallahu anhu said, shall we bring a doctor for you? He said, the doctor came. And he said, okay, what did the doctor say? He said, Tabibun amradani, the tabib made me sick, but tabibun yashfini, the tabib will give me cure. In other words, he's saying, Allah gave me the sickness, so Allah will cure me. It's all up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Uthman radiallahu anhu said, shall we write for you something from the treasury, the Baytul Maal for your daughters? Because he had many daughters. People subhanAllah look at like daughters, are like adab, Allah forgive us. Uthman radiallahu anhu, Ibn Mas'ud had many daughters, mashallah. So then they said, should we write something for your daughters? He said, no, I don't need it. He said, why? Because I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah every night, it will be a means for him to not become poor in the world. You recite Surah Al-Waqi'ah, you will not become poor. Ibn Mas'ud, all of his, they said, I think he had about 8 daughters. Each one of them married a governor from the different governances of Islam, and they all were very wealthy, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. You have no i'timad on this Quran. This is our problem. Fadla min rabbikum. You want fadl, you want grace from Allah. Allah says it's in your Quran. وَلِتَعْلَمُ عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. You only know time, you only know the hisab, you only know all these things because of the Quran. This is one way to understand it. What's another way, inshallah ta'ala? I'm going to tell you a lot of things from this ayah. Because you and I don't realize how much we need the night and day. You and I don't realize how much we need the night and day. So I'll explain one thing first, okay? So one of the ulama have said, they said that, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنَ فَبَحَوْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ النَّهَارَ مُبَصِرًا. They say that the day has been made, لِتَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. The day has been made so you can desire and you can go and get from the fadl, the grace from your Lord. Okay? This is a very important part. Allah Ta'ala tells us the day has been created so that you can get from, you can go and desire from the fadl, the grace from your Rabb. Who's your Rabb? What does your Rabb do? Your Rabb's job is to take care of you. Okay? Now I tell this to people, mashallah, because a lot of people sometimes have financial difficulties. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all of us and save us from financial difficulties. But I tell you, subhanAllah, you have to understand that Allah is your Rabb. He's not going to leave you out to die. He's not going to leave you out to go get finished. He will, your Rabb is your mom and dad, what do they make sure for you? I told you, remember the last time about Yahya and the passport, right? He doesn't have to worry about getting on the plane because his dad is taking care of everything. I am taking care of him. I'm the murabbi for him, right? My Allah is my Rabb. By his nature, by his sifa, he's going to give you risk, okay? He said, مِن رَبِّكُمْ فَضْلًا. Allah says, out of grace, because he wants to give you, out of something he wants to give, he'll give you. What is Allah telling us from this ayah? What I want everyone to remember when you go home, that don't stress out too much. Allah Akbar, some people, they panic, man. Some people literally lost all their hair. I know certain guys in this community, not you, man, you good, man. But like, a lot of guys in this community, They he's ikhtiyaran, he chose that, right? Not not ijbaran. It didn't happen to him because he was forced to. The thing is that certain people, subhanAllah, going bald, they're losing their hair because they can't find rizq. I said, first and foremost, calm down. Allah tells us three things in Zaya. Number one is that your Rabb is Rabb. Number two is Allah says He gives from His Fadl, His grace. He loves to give from His grace. And number three is litabtaghu. Just try. Go out, seek, make talab. Don't kill yourself over it, subhanAllah. Just try. Just try a little bit, right? Pray two rakats in the morning. I say, Allah, it's your decision if I get today or not. And then you go, right? I tell everyone, mashallah, I tell them the Juma. I said, the one who has most yaqeen on Allah is the Uber driver, right? The Uber driver, subhanAllah, he has probably more yaqeen than the bird. The bird goes out in the morning, he looks for worms. The Uber driver has to make dua. Ya Allah, please, you gotta give me some money today, right? And then he pushes the button and he makes dua. It's close enough, not too far, whatever, right? So everyone, subhanAllah, when you realize tawakkul, trust Allah Ta'ala, do a little bit. Subhanallah, I wanted to read everyone this poem. I thought it was very nice. Rasulullah SAW said, Yatlubuka rizquk kama yatlubuka ajluk. Remember this. Rasulullah SAW said, the same way your death tries to find you, the same way your rizq tries to find you. Your sustenance chases you out the same way your death tries to chase you out. Death never misses you for a moment. Your rizq will not miss you for a moment. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ وَمَا الْإِشْرَافُ مِنْ خُلُقِي أَنَّ الَّذِي هُوَ رِزْقِي سَوْفَ يَأْتِينِي أَسْعَى إِلَيْهِ فَيُعْيِينِي تَطَلُّبُهُ وَلَوْ قَعَدْتُ أَتَانِي لَا يُعَنِّينِي. It's a beautiful man. He says, I surely know. And he says, وَمَا الْإِشْرَافُ مِنْ خُلُقِي. And he says that it's not for me to expect things from my nature, that which is my risk will soon come to me. He said, this risk that will soon come to me. Asa, I rush towards it. For you are yini. It dumbfounds me. It makes me an idiot for trying to chase after it. Walau qa'adtu, if I sat down, atani la yu'annini. If I sat down, it will come to me. And I didn't have to be concerned with it whatsoever. I'm telling you, subhanAllah, relax. This is the thing. What is Allah telling us? Relax. The same Allah who made the night and day, who turns the night and day, Allah is saying that I'm going to make everything easy for you. This is the first thing, right? وَلِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. If you learn from the day how to calm down and to take from your risk, right? Then what do you learn from the night? This thing that we all suffer from. The night, if the day is created for making work and making risk, what is the night for? To sleep. To sleep. People are laughing, subhanAllah, because you know how much I'm going to get out of you for everyone for this, right? The night has been created for sleep, right? Last night we had the i'tikaf. Hafiz Sab was lucky to leave early. I had to sit down and be tortured by these kids. Every other hour they would slam the door and be like, oh, Molana's asleep. Molana's asleep. And I couldn't sleep. How could I sleep, right? Every other hour they're waking me up, slamming the door. Right? They just keep slamming like jinnat. You know jinnat? When they come in possession to the house, right? They just start slamming every like window and everything like that, right? So in any case, they keep coming in like jinnat, and they slept at 4 a.m., 3 a.m., right? SubhanAllah. It's only by Allah's fadl that they woke up for Fajr. I don't know how it happened. I only thought, like, Allah, you are the one who can do this. I don't know how it has happened, right? If I only had 2 hours, you think I'm waking up for Fajr? Absolutely not. It's too hard, right? People, subhanAllah, have a lot of expectations. They're working in the day and they're working in the night. Man, brother, relax, slow down. America really put us in this bad position. This is not like other Western countries. Other Western countries have an idea to take rest. Aram karna, relax, and take rest at nighttime. What do? We put ourselves in more tension, more stress by taking out the phone. And then we get even more worked up by nighttime, right? We get more heated, more angry, right? And we're getting angry at the phone, trying to write things as fast as we can. And the wife next to us is getting angry, though why am I not talking to her, right? Like, subhanAllah, we're ruining our own life by not taking rest. Allah said, look, if I created a day for you to desire, nighttime's for you to get some sleep, man. Go to sleep. Relax. Go to bed. Sleep by 9, sleep by 10. I'm telling you, you're going to be so energized. SubhanAllah, the amount of, no one here, I'm a morning person. By nature, I'm a morning person. These kids torture me so I don't become a morning person. But my morning habit routine is everything's done in the morning. By Dhuhr time, I'm exhausted, I'm done. I need to take qailula, I need to take some rest, and then I can recharge for the next half of the day. But morning is where I get my work done, because Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Muhammad SAW, Allahumma ja'al, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Rasulullah said, may Allah bless my ummah in its early morning time. You're going to get a lot of work done. All the work I could have done in the afternoon, I get done within an hour in the morning. It's so much work, much more efficient. You get so much more done, subhanAllah. You're writing a kitab, right, Hafiz Sab? The kitab we're writing on is a gift to parents for the Hifz kids, because a lot of kids, parents send their kids to Hifz, have no idea what they're supposed to be doing, right? So you wrote a book, subhanAllah, 20 minutes, 30 minutes in the morning, just typing. SubhanAllah, within 2 weeks, it's done. 10-page book, mashallah. It's very, subhanAllah, you don't realize how much barakah you have in the morning. So my thing is a reminder for everyone, ولتبتغوا فضلا من ربكم. Desire your risk in the morning, take some rest at night. Sleep early. What time are we sleeping by? 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Subhanallah, at least if you're staying up that long, you can make the hajjud, you know that? When is the last third of the hajjud come in? Maghrib comes in at 4. Okay? Fajr comes in at 6, roughly. Okay, like maybe like 5:30. So 4 to 5, let's just make it like, so that's 8 hours, right? 14 hours. 14 hours. 14 hours. And people saying they can't find rest? Subhanallah. 14 hours, right? The third of the night, last third of the night, if you divide it by 3, 14 into 3 into 14 is what? How many? Muhammad. About 4.5, right?
Yeah.
So roughly the last third of the night starts at 1 a.m. By the time you put down your phone to go to sleep, it's already the time to stand up and do Qiyamul Layl. Try it, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala comes on every last night and He goes and says, Allah min mustaghfirin fa'aghfirullah. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness so I can forgive them? Allah min mustarziqin fa'arzuqana. Is there anyone who's seeking risk so I can give them risk? Allah Ta'ala says, you want Allah Ta'ala's grace, wake up at the Hajjud, subhanAllah. I'm telling everyone, subhanAllah, these small little things. وَلِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. Allah Ta'ala says, so, and they can also know from the times of years, and they can also know the hisab, right? They can also know how to calculate and figure out things, right? And this is also part of, mashallah, this amazing system Allah has made. It's all from His beautiful signs. A kid doesn't realize time. A kid does not realize time. Who realizes time? When you have kids, you realize. The kids don't realize what Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday mean. Only an adult realizes what these things are. And he realizes years. A kid just remembers his birthday, and that's all they can really remember. Slowly but surely, you start to realize that there is a cycle going, right? Everyone's going in a cycle. 1 year after another year after another year after another year, right? SubhanAllah. Who's the one, mashallah, who's giving us this ability? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He didn't turn the night and turn the day, would you be able to understand this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so ghani, so kareem, right? But what does a person be able to do by turning the years? They're also able to calculate what they want to do in life. So you start planning. What does a person plan? In 3 years, this is going to happen. In 5 years, this is going to happen. In 10 years, this is going to happen. 15 years, 20 years. After 30 years, I want to retire. I bought a house at this age, and now at 57, 60, 70, whatever, I'm going to make sure that I paid off my house, and I start to calculate everything, right? You start to evaluate, what time will I do this? What time will I do this? My son, 5 years old, will start memorizing Quran. 6 years old, 7 years old. By 8 years old, he's going to become a hafiz of Quran. Allah is telling us, you start to calculate everything. You start to calculate every move, every moment you try to think about. And you start to think, what is the best time to do this? What is the best time to do this, right? People are so precise about this, right? When they play the games of stocks, or they consider about crypto, all these different things, they start to tell themselves, what is the best time to purchase? What is the best time to sell? So much evaluation we do based on time. So much on this time. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. Allah Ta'ala tells us something really deep here. He says, everything we've outlined in detail, where have we outlined in detail this? Where is the detail? وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. Allah says, every single detail we have firmly placed it. All of his actions, we have firmly placed it on his neck. We have firmly placed all these actions on his neck. What does this mean? In Arabic, this is an expression. When you say, I put something on someone's neck, it means it never separates from you. When you have a necklace, for example, or a collar, or a chain, right? When you put it on, the ghul, right? It never comes off the neck. It stays on there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we have placed all the actions, ta'irahu, which are flying away from him. Allah says, we take those actions, we put it onto his neck. They don't separate from him. What does this mean? When you say one subhanAllah, where does that subhanAllah go? Where does it go? Right? It flies somewhere, right? You said it, subhanAllah. You said Allahu Akbar. You said La ilaha illallah. You prayed a salah. Where do all these things go? Allah Ta'ala says, you think that it went away somewhere. Allah said, no, it flew right back onto your neck. It stayed on you. It got recorded down. Like what? Like for my IT brothers here? Like code. What do? Every day you write something, right? And you start writing. So one line of code, another line of code, another line of code, right? And you keep writing and writing until you get blocks. And then the blocks become huge, huge, huge blocks. And then eventually becomes paragraphs, right? Eventually, subhanAllah, you write so much down, right? Allahu Akbar, right? This is the explanation of the Quran. I'm giving you an explanation of the Quran, right? That every action that you're doing, right? Everything that you're doing is flying away, but it flies all the way back to you. It comes back to you and gets written down into your book. Every action you are doing, whether good or bad, it flies and comes back to you and then gets written down in your kitab. It never separates from you. This is the thing. It never separates from you. The good things in your life never separate. The bad things in life never separate. They always come back to you. And this is the thing. It's recorded. What does it say? On his neck. Now, this is something in the books of our ulama of the past. They said, how is it possible that a, like all this information, because all these actions you're doing, every second of action you're doing, everything you're doing is going and going, but where is it being preserved? Where is it being saved? So our ulama used to say about memory, they used to give an example about memory, that a person has memorized so much in their mind, but how do you have all that in your brain? Where is it stored? Where's the storage for it, right? Nowadays, subhanAllah, it's so much easier. You know, Allahu Akbar, memory has become so small. You can purchase like, you know, 64 MB, 64 GB, right? You can get a terabyte, right? Allahu Akbar, like huge amounts of memory, such a small amount of space, right? Similarly, what Allah is telling us is, Allahu Akbar, right? In some place on your body, you have this storage. It's been saved and preserved. Your memory card, your data card is there. And Allah Ta'ala one day will take it out, right? Or yawm al-qiyamati, right? Alqahu kitaban. I'm saying to Muhammad. Oh. Yeah, nukhriju lahu yawm al-qiyamati kitaba. We will take out for him a book, yalqahu manshura. It'll be completely spread out, right? So this small little chip, imagine on the day of judgment how it's going to be. Allah knows, right? You got this big system, subhanAllah. The memory card that you had gets put into there. And then the file is uploaded. And then you're going to see the whole life of Shakil before you. It's a small little chip on the back of the neck of mankind, but it's put in there. And then you see everything I've done. Everything before everyone. Kitaban yalqahu, it will be brought forth and he will find it manshura, wide open for everyone to see. The word manshura should terrify people. Because subhanAllah, the things that I did by myself when I thought I was alone are manshur, they're open for everyone to see. That it's not just me, but my parents, the anbiya, the friends and family that I had, everyone will see that book, everything I did, whether halal or haram, everyone will see. This is a terrifying thing for everyone to think about. Ya Allah, what haram have I done in my life? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show everyone. Sabke samne wo itla ho jayenge. Everyone will see this on Qiyamah. The Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that I try to live his sunnah, right? We'll see it on the day of judgment. It's a terrifying thing. And subhanAllah, like I told you, Allahu Akbar, Allah made it very easy to understand this nowadays. Just a memory card, mashallah. It's really what it is, right? You have a choice to design your kitab. This is what I tell everyone. You have a choice to design the kitab. You can choose what you want to do. You're making hisab. People make hisab. When should I get married? When should I have kids? When should I do this, right? Have you ever thought about when is the time I'm going to make the tahajjud today? Or when is the time I'm going to wake up for fajr? Or when is the time I'm going to do the zikr? When is the time I'm going to read Quran? Maybe I should, instead of Allah Ta'ala telling us, yad'u al-insanu bi-shari du'a'u bil-khayr, instead of maybe calculating all the bad things and the dunyawi things, Allah says, maybe you should calculate the things which are for your good deeds, your amal as-salih, right? What is the calculation here? I want everyone to think about. In this life, subhanAllah, we calculate our dunya for about maybe 20 years left in our life. Maybe 20 years. A person is working for their retirement. A person will be in retirement for how long? 20, 30, 40 years. Allah knows best how long, right? How long will you be in the qabr for? How long will you be in the hereafter for? How long will you be on qiyamah for? Allah says, you made such hisab. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, you're using your brain. Allah says, make deeper hisab. Go even deeper than that. Think about how long you'll be in the grave for. And then make the hisab. What should you do in life? Should you do the haram? Should you pursue evil? Should you do the bad things? Or maybe pursue something which is better for yourself? Do something that will protect yourself in your qabr. Do something that will protect yourself on qiyamah. Do something that will get you entry into Jannah. Go into Jannatul Firdaws, Allah says. Make hisab for that. Now, ta'irahu fi unuqi. This is a beautiful ayah Allah is telling us. Wa yawm al qiyamati kitab al nukhriju lahu yawm al qiyamati kitaban yalqahu manshura. Allah then after he says, when the book is taken out, we're all intimidated. Okay, when you see your kitab on qiyamah, it's gonna be like huge, right? It's gonna be like this. It's gonna be like Harry Potter size, maybe bigger than Harry Potter. Allah knows. Maybe like the Christian Bible size, right? It's huge, right? So Allah knows how big of a kitab it is, right? And you and I already don't read. Okay, Mawlana has to read for us and he brings you the tafsir of the Quran for everybody, right? We already don't read. On the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala says, Iqra kitabak. Okay? Already we don't read. We don't want to read this book. Allah says, you read the book. Paro, right? Read in front of the ustaz. Read the book. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. It's enough for today. You can do your own hisab. You can make hisab today. You can decide if you deserve Jannah or Jahannam. Allah says, you read the kitab and you tell me when you are, because when we come on Qiyamah, we see Jahannam. May Allah protect us. But you and I will see Jahannam. When we see Jahannam, you realize how terrifying place this is. And then you see people being flung in there because of the haram they used to do. Allah protect you, Ya Rabb. SubhanAllah, a person will see people being flung into Jahannam. And then you get your kitab before you. And then you're told to read the kitab and see, do you deserve Jannah or Jahannam? Whoever say Allah on that day that I think I did. We know what we thought about in namaz, in salah, right? Our salah has been, subhanAllah, you know what a person does in salah? They start saying Allahu Akbar, right? Alladhina min salatihim sahun, right? So then they start the salah, and immediately it's like, you know, you start saying Alhamdu, and then you after Alhamdu, you forget what you're saying, right? So then you start thinking about, oh yeah, that was a really nice football game. Oh yeah, I gotta make sure I'm prepared for that vacation. And I gotta make sure that, okay, in a couple of years, my kid's supposed to be married. Oh man, why is my kid not married yet? Oh man, I'm really upset. Man, how much money do I have in the bank account? Oh man, and then, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. And then you're like, I'm telling you, this cannot be my own experience. We, as if we fell asleep the whole time. Alladhina an salatihim sahun. Not even paying attention. I tell you, one easy way for you to focus on your salah is very simple. When you say Allahu Akbar, right? Tell yourself at this moment, I'm going to read Sana. I'm reading Sana now. Then you're going to say, Bismillah ar-Rahmanir-Rahim. I'm reading Suratul Fatiha. Right? And then say, I'm going to read Suratul Ikhlas. And then when you go for, you're going to tell yourself, I'm going for Ruku'. Then you're going to go for Ruku'. Then you're going to say, I'm going to read the Subhanallah Bil-Azim. Everything you're going to do, tell yourself in your mind, I'm doing this right now. You will be focusing in your prayer. You want to focus even better? Learn the meaning of the Quran, the Salah that you pray. Learn Surah Fatiha, learn Surah Ikhlas, learn these surahs. Because when you realize how deep of a meaning they are, Iyyaka na'budu, Allah, we only worship you. Wa Iyyaka nasta'in, only you we seek help from, ya Allah. You learn that meaning. You're going to be focusing, inshallah ta'ala. There's a ways, inshallah, for everyone to become better at these things, inshallah. May Allah grant us tawfiq. These ayat, subhanAllah, also have a deep connection to, again, it's all about Bani Israel at the end of the day, man, subhanAllah. They have, again, these misunderstandings in their life, right? They think that everything comes back to them here. They think that everything comes back to them here. The karma, what people call it today, karma. They say that what goes around comes around. Okay, yeah, it does come around, but does it always come around here? A lot of good that people do doesn't come around here. And sometimes it does, alhamdulillah, sometimes it doesn't. Where does it come back around fully? On the day of judgment, it comes back fully. And then you get to see everything. This is why I was telling everyone that the Jews, they considered everything in this dunya. Everything has to happen in this dunya. That's why for them, Hitler was a very big problem. Hitler, for him to survive and not get anything done to him, was like the biggest issue, that how could God allow such a thing? The reason why they became atheists is they don't have a qiyamah. You and I have a qiyamah to think about. This is reminding everyone that, and importance, that what you do in life will come around again. Everything you've done will come back to you, inshallah ta'ala. Either it was good or it was bad, it will come back. It'll make ruju' ilayk. It will come back to you, inshallah ta'ala. So don't be upset or frustrated. I tell you, the honor on the day of judgment for the hafiz is parents. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, that the Hafiz's parents will be given crowns and clothing from Jannah. The crown is so bright, it's brighter than the sun. It's Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith, right? Beautiful. Then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "If this is the reward, the jaza'ul walidain, right? Fama jaza'u man hafizaha. If that's the reward of the one who was the parents, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what is the reward of the one who memorized it? If Allah says that the one who did the actual work, if the parents get this much, what do you think the one who actually memorized the Quran, what will he get? So remind yourself, inshallah, there are great rewards waiting for us. May Allah grant us all tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. And make it easy for all of us, inshallah, to make the right choices in life, right? To choose the good things and remove the bad things. And to make sure that we calculate for the eternal life before we get there, inshallah ta'ala. Rasulullah Muhammad. Does anyone have any questions, inshallah?
You mentioned about that your account will be open in front of your relatives in the day of judgment, your bad deeds and good deeds.
Yes.
Isn't it true that Allah said if you hide somebody's bad deeds and don't talk about it to anybody, on the day of judgment, Allah will hide your
Beautiful, mashallah. The question was that, isn't it true that on the day of judgment, if a person concealed someone else's faults, Allah will conceal their sins and their faults? Bishak, there's 100% hadith of Rasulullah, right? That whoever satara Muslim and satara Allah fi dunya wal akhirah. Whoever conceals for a Muslim, Allah will conceal for him in this world and the hereafter. Not even the hereafter, Allah says in this world too. We have a lot of mistakes. Allah Ta'ala says very beautifully on the words of His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if you just conceal something, mashallah, for your Muslim brother, Allah will conceal it in the hereafter. And the second thing is that people, subhanAllah, when we commit sins, we should not expose these things. Unfortunately, today we're in a very bad habit. Someone, subhanAllah, he had qada salawat. This man was, he started praying at 30 years old, so he had a lot of prayers to make up, right? So he finally, subhanAllah, after years and years on end, he finished praying, right? And he finished making up all the prayers. And then, subhanAllah, like he wanted to invite everyone for a dawat. So he tried to invite the whole village to come, right? So the sheikh told him, he said, sheikh told him, listen, you don't have to give a dawat for everything. If you did something wrong, you don't tell everyone that you did something wrong. Just if you want to feed people, just say barakatan, I'm feeding people. Don't give them the reason, right?
Right.
SubhanAllah. So the thing is that if you conceal it, inshallah, Allah will conceal it too. Certain people will have hisab behind a parda, right? A veil, a curtain between you and all of mankind. Allah will read it. And it's mentioned in the hadith that Allah that comes near your shoulder. Like, I don't even know what these things mean, right? Allah that comes near your shoulder and reads the kitab with you. And then he says, you remember this, you remember this, you remember this. Say, Allah, I do remember this, I remember this, I remember. And it's very shameful, it's very embarrassing. But when Allah that reads it, he says, look, I concealed you in the world and you concealed yourself. I'll conceal you today. Go straight to Jannah. You know, subhanAllah. May Allah grant all of us that, Ya Rab. You know, it's beautiful things again for everyone to inshallah to ponder on. Any other question, inshallah?
Just thinking of when I was talking and something came to my mind, actually two things that just didn't take notes. One of them is when you spoke about the alternation, I mean, Ajala, you know, the rushing, we are always rushing. And actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you mentioned day and night, and also in Yasin, so it is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the you know, no one is rushing, otherwise you want to go first, and you know, it's not all the order. We try to look at verses, you know, in the Quran
and they hardly match, right?
And it all falls into the more you ponder, you have one of the things when you mentioned the Amal and how they are recorded, etc. One of the things that I always fascinated, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that our hand will witness, he will talk, our feet,
Well,
you know, it found hands. You walked there. You did that, you know, and you can't control. And I always wonder, you know, how can my hands speak, right? Look, how is that? But subhanAllah, I mean, and at that time, this is, they say, a long time ago. And okay, I don't know, many kids here don't know what's a tape recorder,
a
right?
tape recorder.
So basically, you know, the tape itself is just, you know, some molecules, right? Carbon and oxygen and all stuff,
Yeah.
right? But where you get this, you know, little, you know, system that goes orbit, and you have, you know, speakers, now you're hearing.
It's
So
on,
they
it flows
say
through it.
we human
Yeah.
control this matter, you know, just molecules,
Yeah.
and we're recording voice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't know what he has, right? You know how, you know, this is all your molecules too, my
Yeah.
hands, my feet, my everything. So and the I always thought that this book is strange. I mean, just Allah subhanahu wa
Ajaib.
ta'ala in our knowledge to bring it, you know, to close to what we know.
Yeah.
But he records everything.
Subhanallah.
You know how all the actions, it's not written in the pen because you can see video. Look what you've done, you know everything, you can see that. You can see the sound, you cannot deny anything, subhanAllah. And you mentioned, you know, both the voice and you know, the sound, it doesn't go away.
Nothing goes
Whatever
away.
you see, you say, actually, it resonates, it keeps going. You know, what
Allah
Fir'aun
Akbar.
said a long time ago, he's still in the air, it
Ya
just
Allah Akbar.
waves, they just keep
Allah
going.
Akbar.
SubhanAllah, you
Quran
know, this is one thing that's
is
always
deep.
fascinates me. Yeah. So we have to, if we only know that what I say actually is up there, right? It never goes away. We should be very careful, really
Very true.
terrified. You know, it will not even talk, speak, you know, truly, you know, with Allah
So he thought about it.
subhanahu wa ta'ala. It just
Allah Musta'an. That was such a deep point. Jazakumullah khairan. I imagine there's like a big scanner on the Day of Judgment. People just go through it and then start scanning everything, like subhanAllah. Like the hands start talking and all these, because it'll just start saying, right? Like everything's being embedded and recorded. Like subhanAllah. May Allah protect Ya Rab. It's something to think about. When you think about Qiyamah more, life in this world gets much easier. Because you stop worrying about so many things, right? Doesn't matter which cereal we had in the morning, right? Alhamdulillah, we have bigger questions to deal with, right? Jazakumullah khairan. We'll leave it there then, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Islam.
Like so.